Welcome to our service for the second Sunday before Lent, the second of those Sundays when we think about how we might prepare for that penitential season. We begin, though, with a celebration of the new day and a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Morning has broken like the first morning. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the Word. Penitence is again, in some sense, our theme as we prepare for Lent in 10 days' time. And so we come to confess our sins. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the very beginning of our Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you've a lucifer to light your fag, smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. It somehow comes naturally to sing Pack Up Your Troubles in a London Cockney voice, but in fact, the writer of the lyrics to the song was actually a Welshman, George Henry Powell. It's just about the only song that you can find attributed to him. It became, of course, one of the most famous songs of World War I, won a competition for a marching song to support the morale of the troops. Its words became so well known that, for example, in 1932, it was the title of the movie Pack Up Your Troubles, starring Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. Earlier, in 1918, it was the bitterly sarcastic title of one of Wilfred Owen's war poems, Smile, Smile, Smile. For our purpose today, the line that interests us is the third one. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. Don't worry, says Jesus to his disciples, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Which of you by worrying can add 1 hour to your span of life? Some of us will find that an easier commandment to live by than others, I suspect. So I thought we might look at what Jesus says that we should do instead. It's a part of the passage we don't often notice. The headline message about what we shouldn't do, don't worry, drowns out the positive message about what we should do. Some of these things that we should do are deceptively simple. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. But perhaps these are not just simple illustrations. Perhaps they are positive suggestions about behaviour. Perhaps we would do better when we are worrying away to sit quietly in the garden for a while and watch the birds, or to sit quietly in the meadow and contemplate the wild flowers. These simple instructions tell us two things, at least. They tell us first how Jesus himself was so completely at home in God's world, peacefully unfrightened by the wind and waves, learning the lessons of the fig tree and the vine, teaching and telling stories about the mustard seed, the sparrow's fall, or the sowing, ripening, and harvest of the good seed. But secondly, I think, and more importantly, they tell us how we might begin to fulfill the most important of the commandments of the passage. It's very familiar to us. How often have we sung it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Or in the translation we have today, strive first for the kingdom of God. And this is surely the heart of what Jesus is teaching. But how do you do it? If you're seeking the kingdom of God, Where will you find it? If you're striving for righteousness, how will you achieve it? The answer to both questions in the first instance is the same. The first thing you need to do is stop. Stop worrying. Stop looking in the wrong places. Stop worrying about the things that spoil your life today by infecting it with the worries of tomorrow. Stop striving for the things that cannot add a single hour to your span of life. Just stop. Stop and look at the birds. Stop and consider the flowers. Wake up and smell the coffee, we might say nowadays, except that the coffee has been made by human hands, while the birds and the flowers and all the wonder of the natural world have been given by the hand of the Creator, who made it. And when he had made it all, we read in Genesis today, he stopped. Stopped and rested. And he made stopping and resting a holy thing. You might have thought that it was all that creative activity that was really hallowed, that it was all the energy and work of the first 6 days that was truly holy. But it wasn't. It was the seventh day. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done. Just stop. And once you have stopped, where will you find this kingdom of God that you are seeking, that you're looking for? Is it over here? Over there? Somewhere else? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not over here or over there. It is within you. Or in other passages, it has come near to you. It is among you. It is within you, St. Paul tells the clever, clever philosophers of the Areopagus in Athens. Indeed, he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Remember what we said last week about that old liturgical rhyme? These 3 Sundays before Lent help prepare us to repent. One of the mistakes that we often make in Lent is to make our Christian lives get busier, to add on more activities that somehow make us feel more holy. Extra services, or Bible study groups, or ceremonies. All ministers and many lay people are inclined to think this way. Somehow we equate holiness with holy busyness. But what did God do on the holiest day? He stopped and rested. How would it be if, instead of giving up chocolate and other things completely irrelevant to your spiritual well-being, we decided to work a bit less, to fill our lives with less activity, to make a little more space for rest and silence and quiet prayer? And if the answer is that you couldn't do it because you'd spent all that spare time worrying about all the things you weren't getting done, then, on the authority of today's gospel reading, I would say that Jesus would tell you, you probably need to do it all the more. Just stop. Stop then, and seek the kingdom of God within yourself, and where you can among your brothers and sisters. Because the kingdom of God is simply that realm where God is king. It is the place where God is given the highest place of honour. It's the place where all the idols in whose service we worry and scurry about every day, without ever really recognising for the idols that they are, in the kingdom of God, all those subtly disguised idols are cast down from their throne, and God is given his proper place. We finish with another song. This time from the great Bill Caddick, Bard of Wolverhampton. It's called Unicorns. And I've always thought, although he doesn't say so, that it's about a lost sense of the spiritual, which the unicorns represent. They sing in chorus to a haunting tune. We never went away. You always knew that we were here. Remember how to look for us. You'll find we were always near. Perhaps the Lord is telling us the same. Remember how to look for him. You'll find he was always near. Amen. So to our prayers. Enta dar hynoet yn y nefoedd, sancteddio dy enw, deled y dernas gwnelod dy wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein barab enyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eithi gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant. And I say so. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea.
Let us pray. We pray for peace in the world. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquillity your kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. We pray for Ukraine. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Our thoughts and prayers today are with the people of Turkey and Syria. Heavenly Father, our hearts are moved by the effects of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, the grief felt by families who have lost loved ones, or who are waiting for news of loved ones, is unimaginable. We turn to you, God of all comfort, and ask that you be close to people in the days ahead, that they may know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have lost their homes in the earthquake and are sheltering outdoors in the midst of this harsh winter. We pray especially for children who are confused and frightened by what is happening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the swift action of those who are already responding, for the rescue teams searching for survivors. We ask for endurance and resilience. For those who are providing temporary shelter, we pray for the swift delivery of equipment. And for those in communities offering comfort and help to their neighbours, we pray that you give them selfless compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray for the world's leaders as they decide how best to respond to the catastrophe. We pray that you give us generous hearts towards the people of Turkey and Syria. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the sick in body, mind, and spirit. And we pray for Richard and for those who are caring for him. Healing God, bless those on a journey of recovery from illness or surgery. Grant strength, patience, and freedom from pain. Bring restoration of health through your Spirit's power. Reach out and touch them so they know that you are there, bringing comfort and light even in the darkest of times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Thank you for the remembrance of loved ones no longer with us, for their inspiring words, encouragement, love, and support. An example for us to follow. May their legacy be seen in the people we have become, and may we always be thankful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Life an atonement for sin. Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.